Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that forms the basis for our meditation and comfort this morning is the Holy Gospel from St. John, chapter 2, the wedding of Canaan. The wedding of Canaan is more than just Jesus attending a wedding. Weddings and wine are Old Testament themes. God called Zion in the Old Testament his bride. And even in the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament church had reason to rejoice because God had said, when he gathers his people together, in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of wine, of grapes on the vine, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wine on the vine. And he will destroy the covering cast over all the people, the veil that's spread over their nations. God will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Yes, the Lord has spoken. And the church says, behold, this is our God. This is the God we've waited for, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In the book of Isaiah, there's great rejoicing and wine surrounding God's people. In the book of Amos, the same thing. Jeremiah, same thing. Genesis, same thing. Joel, it's a theme that goes all the way where God promises his presence, rescues his people, provides the key element that he offers them is wine to make the men of hearts glad. And there's great rejoicing gathered around this God who's come to be in their presence. These images are also present in the wedding of Canaan, where God delivers a family from trouble and then offers wine for gladness. In the Old Testament, the book Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, speaks about Jesus' bride, the church. And they look forward to the time of being reunited with God when he comes to deliver them. And as he does, there's great rejoicing. Throughout the Old Testament, the promises are made that when Messiah comes, there will be wine and joy and gladness in the lives of people. Again, this text isn't just Jesus coming to a wedding. In fact, the bigger picture is that he comes to his bride, the church, where we have need, where we have shame, where those are removed, and in their place, he brings us something we didn't expect, a greater wine, if you will, and joy in his presence. So here in our text, Epiphany, where God manifests, reveals that God is in the flesh, even as our Epiphany hymns sing. We've got maybe three more Sundays, I suppose we'll use that as the opening hymn. Hymns reflect the scriptures, that God is present, pointing out the signs along the way. But it's not the sign that is significant. It's what the sign points to. The person of Jesus Christ come to bring us joy and salvation. John begins his text and says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. The third day, Jesus had been busy through the prophet, the last prophet, John the Baptist. He was the one that prior to this, 2 days before, pointed out to Jesus, to the people, and said, "Behold, there's the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world." Again, the next day, he stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And they turned and followed Jesus. And then we had Philip and Nathanael. Jesus called them to follow him. Perhaps this is that third day. But ringing in the ears of every Christian, I think, is also another third day. And John's very in tune to this because it's through word and sign that he shows his disciples and the people and us today who this Christ is. That he's just not another man, but that he is, as the Old Testament prophets had promised, God come to deliver and offer you, in place of shame and need, a reason to rejoice in great wine. So we have a wedding day, and the Old Testament frames this whole event so that at the expectation of the church, she waits for this deliverer to come. Here in this context, Jesus is coming to Jews in the wedding, and it's a very appropriate context. And so a wedding is happening in Canaan, not far from Nazareth, so it's not surprising that Jesus was invited, along with his disciples, probably a bunch of his relatives, part of the extended family. And also John records that Jesus was invited to the wedding. So John sets up the narrative for us in a wonderful way. And then Mary draws Jesus' attention to a need. They need something, Jesus. After the wine had run out, and Jesus addresses her, not in a derogatory way. We don't much say this in public, but woman, it's a title of respect. "What does your concern have to do with me?" Wine at the wedding was, if you ran out, it was a key element. And there would bring shame to the wedding party, to those that were invited, to the wedding coordinator, to all the family and friends. A complete embarrassment. And if you declined the wedding and said you couldn't come or wouldn't go, it was a way of shaming the family. So there's a bunch of things going on here already, and the suspecting bride and groom are left in the middle of this. Jesus then, Mary, she knows a lot about Jesus, probably more than anybody did at this point, because she had raised him. And she simply says to him, "They ran out." Jesus responds and says, "What does this have to do with me? Why are you asking me to reveal myself in a very magnificent way at this point in time?" And then the real important part comes here. "My hour has not yet come." This is brought up 3 or 4 times in John until finally the climax in chapter 12, when Jesus, before he is crucified, he uses the same word. And he says here, though, "My hour is come now for the Son of Man to be revealed, to be manifested." This is the epiphany for Jesus in the life of the world. And yet he says, "My soul is troubled. What should I do? Turn away from this hour?" No, this is exactly why I came. "And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." He says this right before the crucifixion. So even though we're in the Epiphany season, right at the tail end of Christmas, glad tidings of great joy, we're to know that even in this season, God has revealed himself to you through his word, through his supper. Come to take away those things that make you sad. Come to bring you salvation, forgiveness, life, peace. And yet right here in the text, in an Epiphany text, Jesus points us to the real Epiphany, to be able to see God's love for the world, John 3:16, giving up his life for the world. That's his hour. And that's the time of our salvation. And we get this already. Jesus has come to deliver us. Although from the text we know that he'll help out, and his mother had a pretty good idea that he would too. But the key element here in our wedding was the lack of wine. The key element missing in the world's life is the lack of Christ. Mary is very much tuned in to what Jesus is doing as he makes his way about the crowd. He even encourages the servants, the helpers, encourages them and says, whatever he says to you, do it. She knows that Jesus will help out, just as you have learned to know that Jesus will help out. She knows how important it is to the family and the relatives and the wedding for the essentials of this celebration. And set aside are 6 water pots of stone, not made of pottery. They were for purification. They were more expensive. They weren't easily infected with disease and stuff that grows inside and outside, and they could be reused again. Jesus calls the wedding coordinator, if you will, and says, those 6 pots, fill them up all the way to the brim with water. What did the servants do? They did exactly as Jesus did. When God commands, when he speaks, he performs and does exactly what he says. Like Isaiah writes, when his word goes out, it does what he says it is intended to do. Fill them up so that our cup runs over, that kind of thing. So that our despair and our sadness can be exchanged with rejoicing and great joy. And then what happens? They take them to the head of the table, and he tastes the wine. And he says, usually, you know, for the toast, probably in our context, it's the best wine. And then when people have had one or two, then we bring out the lesser. But you've reversed this. Isn't that our Savior? He gives us more than we deserve, and he gives us the best, not the last, and he fills our cup to the brim, and out of his side poured forth blood and water. As he's hanging there, bleeding, giving his life for you, for his bride. And then he places that water together with his word and makes you members of that bride. And then he nourishes and feeds and tends you like a pelican would pluck her own skin to give the babies the blood. So our Savior pours out his blood for the forgiveness of our sins so we can live gathered at the feast of our Savior. Every Sunday after Sunday, the context of the wedding, Jesus showing up, revealing who he is, coming to his bride, coming to be with us, to rescue us, and give us joy and provide for everything that we need. Why would he do this? Because you're his bride. And he's given himself up for you. And he's washed away everything that would get in the way without spot or blemish or wrinkle. And he doesn't ask you to do ritual washings, no traditions, no works of the flesh, nor of the law, but he purifies us and makes us clean. See, even the Jews had an idea of forgiveness of sins with the purification pots. No, there's no holy water other than the one where Jesus says, take water and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No, This is the fresh water that Jesus gives us, and it's water to celebrate. It's water and washing in a meal and wine where Jesus invites us into our Father's house for the celebration, for an Easter day, for joy of sins forgiven, for no more mourning, for the taking away of tears. In this place, God has promised that Christ would be with us, with his beloved. Sunday after Sunday, we see his glory in his word. Sunday after Sunday, he will give us the wine of our salvation until that day when he calls all his church home to celebrate the festival of the marriage banquet in heaven. And who will serve us there? Jesus, just as he serves us and brings us joy today. Rejoice, Bride of Christ. The table is ready. The host is with us to bring us joy. For Jesus' sake, amen. This peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard and keep us with Christ Jesus until the day of his coming. Amen.